Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. Love that song. And we are thrilled to have in studio with us today, Father Cole Crockey. This show is called Searching My Soul with Father Cole. Father Cole, of course, is the pastor of St. John the Baptist Church, St. Matthias Church, and St. Mary's Church. All of those are great saints' names.
And all of those were included in that litany that we just heard.
In fact, we almost ended on
St. Matthias. Beautiful song.
Yes.
Again, not my usual theme song music of Searching My Soul. But today we're going to talk about the saints. It's been a while since we talked about the saints, and I actually had someone request doing a show on the saints.
Listen to you. Your fan base is increasing.
It's immense. Anyway, so hey, if you're listening out there, I took your suggestion. No, so, you know, we've talked about saints before, but it's probably been at least a couple of years. Partly, I want to talk a little bit about this of, you know, what are the saints? How do Catholics approach the saints differently from our Protestant brothers and sisters? Because our Protestant brothers and sisters also do recognize saints, just in a different way. And then also, what is the formal process for sainthood in the Catholic Church?
And I also liked in our previous section, you just talked about people that are among us that are saints. We're all called to be saints, aren't we?
We are.
So maybe they're saints with a small s?
Correct. You know, that's the whole thing is, you know, when we talk about, you know, the church as an institution, any institution has a structure, has what we call kind of a code of canon law, has guiding documents which are meant to be consistent all throughout the history. And so, of course, if saints are such an important part, the process of how one becomes a saint should be a pretty consistent, clear process and not just arbitrary, right? And so to some people, that's too mechanical, that's too structural, too hierarchical, but I don't know what the solution to that is. That's why we can say, well, there are saints in my life with the little s, right? My grandmother was a saint. We know Mary Jo up at Mary's Place, right? Sharing, carrying hands. She's a saint. What she does, that work day in and day out, feeding, clothing, housing the poor and the disadvantaged. So there are saints in our midst that will never be technically probably canonized. They're still saints. Now, I gotta make sure I don't get in trouble, you know, by saying something wrong or out of turn, because we can't just go around and say, oh, everyone's a saint. But the fact of the matter is, if we're going to declare someone a saint, it's how they are in relation to us in our life, right? So people who have an impact, they can be saints, little s, to us. But of course, we look to the example of the canonized saints, the big saints, right? Who's your favorite saint? Or one of your favorite saints?
Well, I love St. Francis.
St. Francis of Assisi?
Because he loved nature and animals.
Right.
Yes.
Do you think, though, St. Francis of Assisi lived how many years ago?
Oh, gosh.
How many hundreds of years ago? About 800
years
ago? Like the 1100s, right?
Right.
So is life like St. Francis lived it at all relevant to how we lived it today? Or we see it today or experience it today?
Kind of, I think. He was a man of peace.
Right. But on the other hand, though, the distractions and the...
That's why he went to nature, probably.
Right. So we all can have these saints, and we all should, you know...
Saints today that, you know, even people that we've known, we've grown up with, that are now recognized as a saint with a capital S.
Right, well...
That's pretty cool.
Saint Teresa, right, of Calcutta?
Yes.
Mother Teresa, right? She had... many ties to the local area. There are many people who are probably out there listening right now who had a life encounter with Mother Teresa.
My friend Trudy Craig.
Trips.
What
here.
The heck?
Right. So to know saints, what beautiful saint, Saint Gianna Mola. She was the doctor, the
yes.
Italian physician who was pregnant.
Lost. Yes.
Lost. She lost her life to save her baby.
Mm-hmm.
Her baby grew up and, you know, has been here in the United States, and his mother is an actual canonized saint.
Can you imagine?
So I've often heard people say, well, what does it take to become a saint? And they don't mean like, what does it take? Like, what is the formal process, right? We'll talk about that in a second. But what does it take to be a saint? And I always say, well, we're all called to sainthood, right? We're all we have a universal call to holiness, right?
Yes.
We're all called to be saints. It's just that some of us are actually able to achieve that more easily than others, right? And when I say easily, the lives of the saints very rarely were easy.
That's one of my favorite things about reading about saints is they all seem like they were kind of weirdos in the world.
Right. I think I gave you the book Saints Behaving Badly.
Yes.
Right? You know?
Yes.
Again, the stories of conversion stories, right?
Those were conversion stories, but I'm talking about just a lot of times they were so out there with the way they lived their
right.
life that they didn't fit into mainstream, whatever that was.
So, you know, when we talk about what it takes to become a saint or how do we live our lives to be a saint, I always point to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 is otherwise known as the Beatitudes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to read the Beatitudes. And this is Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, right? Seeing the crowds, he went up to a mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Kind of to look at the Beatitudes as kind of the roadmap.
Roadmap.
That's, we got to live the Beatitudes if we want to be mm-hmm. a saint. But to be honest, all of us are called to sainthood, but all of us, we might not have a path before us that allows us to be that saint in a way that some of these contemporary saints, not everyone can be Mother Teresa. You can be inspired
right.
by her story, her teachings, her witness, but Mo, you cannot go out and be Mother Teresa. It's not possible. You have two children, you have a husband, you have a career, you have a life here. God has not called you to go and open up homes for the poor. So you, though, follow her in another way. Your beautiful sharing and caring ministry that you've been doing for so long, right?
Thank you.
In other ways, around Christmas time, we think of ways that we can emulate and help people who are struggling and who are hurting. But sometimes sainthood is also about just understanding and being there for people at the right time. Saint Maximilian Kolbe was killed at Auschwitz, right? At the concentration
mm-hmm.
camp. His path to sainthood was he, in that moment, gave up his life to be killed to save someone else who was a father and who actually survived the camp and lived. But Maximilian Kolbe died so that he could live. That was a decision in the moment. And had he not done that in that moment, we would not know who Maximilian Kolbe was today.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would have just been one of the 6 million, 7 million victims of the Holocaust. His family certainly knew who he was, and those who knew him would, but today he would be lost to history except for those people. But you hear there's these courageous stories, these heroic virtues. John Paul II, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, popes. Isn't it a little strange, you know, that popes name other popes as saints? You know, and there is a little bit of hesitation, like, okay, is every pope going to be, you know, canonized? Should every pope be canonized? And that's actually a discussion that theologians have today, like, okay, let's slow down because... Yep, they should be serving, they should be witnesses, examples, models, but they're just simply living out
right,
their calling. You know, how are they doing it extraordinarily? But when we talk about St. John Paul II and the stories of the people that he inspired,
mm-hmm.
the life that he lived, the adversity that he lived, not only as Pope, but before the Pope. He was Pope. His writings, his teachings, his trust in Mary, right? His mother, own mother died. And so his totus tuus, totally yours, you know, Mary, you must be my mother now. So many great examples of contemporary saints. There's ancient saints, all the saints from the Old Testament, ancient saints. And then you have the biblical, the saints in Jesus's time, right? The apostles, the evangelists. And you have saints, St. Therese of Lisieux and St. Bernadette, Mother Cabrini, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, such different walks of life. Mm-hmm. And the point of these saints, the gift of the communion of saints, is that we, and I'm going to, again, speak generally speaking as Catholics, but it could be anyone of good will who wants to live a life of holiness and sanctity, we emulate and we imitate their lives. And then the saints are there to intercede for us on behalf of God.
Talk about the intercession piece, because I do think that's something people don't always understand about the Catholic faith.
Right. So when we talk about saints, and again, the next section I am going to talk about really what the steps are, when someone is canonized and declared a saint, basically what the church is saying formally is that by the virtue of their life, by the holiness of their life, and remember, before we get there, there's great inquiry, great investigation of their life to make sure that, you know, everything is known. If they had any dark secrets, in a sense, or they had faults, or they had flaws, that we know it. In fact, there's a devil's advocate, right? There's someone in the canonization process who's actually arguing against why this person should not be a saint. So what the church is saying is when they actually declare someone as canonized, they're saying that their life was so holy and so living as according to God that they are no doubt in heaven, that they're in heaven. And if they're in heaven, they're in the presence of God. And if they're in the presence of God, they, in a sense, kind of have God's ear. And so that we pray to God, but we ask the saints. And I guess, of course, the best example of this is Mary, Mother of God, right? Mm-hmm. The Rosary, Holy Mother, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now in the hour of our death. Hear us, intercede to Jesus, your son. It's interesting, you know, when we talk about declaring judgment, the church tacitly is saying all these saints are in heaven. But a lot of say, well, isn't that kind of arrogant? Or how can anyone say someone's in heaven? And so the church is saying, though, but by the virtue of their life, that this is where they would be. They're destined to be spend eternity with God. Now, does hell exist?
Absolutely.
Right. Do people go to hell?
Yes.
They do. Has the church ever declared that anyone is ever in hell?
I hope not.
No. That's a judgment, right?
Right.
That's a judgment that the church has never said, this person was such an evil, despicable person. There's no analog to saints, right? There's no bad guys list that says, well, these people are definitely in hell. Because we can never, ever underestimate the power of God's grace, forgiveness, mercy, mm-hmm. and also repentance. We don't know other people's hearts. And we can say that person was a very bad person, but we don't know how they were reconciled on their deathbed or if they had a great conversion. And that troubles some people, because they say you can't just wipe away a lifetime of bad stuff with a deathbed conversion. And you say, you know what? In this world, it doesn't erase or eliminate the bad things that this person did. But God knows their true heart, and only God judges. So that's what a saint is, in a nutshell, is someone who is eternally in the presence with God. So let me talk about the formal process, right? Right now, I'll use Stanley Rother as an example, right? We have a Blessed Stanley Rother.
Yes, from this area.
Right, who was beatified. So what happened is, first of all, before someone can be declared a saint, something has to have happened in their life.
Well, they're not alive anymore.
Right, you can't canonize a living person. They have to be dead, right? And usually they have to be dead for 5 years.
Okay.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Well, think about it. You don't know the history. You don't know someone's life. You can't write history in the moment.
Oh, sure.
You couldn't write the history of September 11th on September 12th.
That's right.
We're still writing the history of September 11th today.
Right.
We're writing the history of World War II today, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to separate yourself. So you got to be dead for 5 years. Now, the Pope can, I believe, can suspend it if they want to. They've sped it up, I think.
Didn't they for
Mother Teresa?
And Pope John Paul II?
Maybe. Yeah, those were the two modern ones. But then the first step after they died is that a person should be considered for sainthood. A bishop is placed in charge of the initial investigation of that person's life. If it's determined that this candidate is deemed worthy for further consideration, the Vatican will grant what's called a nihil obstat, which is no objection. That's a Latin phrase that means nothing hinders the advancement of that person being on the road to sainthood. And so they're called the servant of God. So when someone is declared by a bishop that I am putting someone forward, so the bishop of Kansas City, Oklahoma City, on Stanley Rother, actually said, I am declaring that this person should be declared a saint, right? Then the next step is there's an official church postulator who actually lives in Rome and serves as the advocate. And the diocese actually has to pay and support this person when they're in Rome. And their job is to compile all of the data about this saint's life. So they can kind of compile this dossier. Mm-hmm. People writing in saying, I remember Stanley Rother. I remember him doing this. Father Stanley, he was a miracle to me. He was a saint to me. This is what he did for me in life, right? Of course, Blessed Stanley Rother was a martyr. He was mm-hmm. a martyr for people in Guatemala because he was defending the people. He was defending the land. And for that, of course, he was killed. So you have a postulator and you have someone who is basically taking all of this data. And then when there's enough data, they send it to the Congregation of Saints. And at that point, then that person is called venerable. So we go from being called a servant of God to venerable. The third step is what's called beatification, when someone's recognized as a blessed. And one miracle must be acquired through the candidate's intercession in order to advance that cause. Now, it's important that for a martyr, there does not have to be an initial miracle. And now a lot of people say, well, miracle, give me an example of a miracle. You know, a miracle is something that cannot be explained by science. And so the most common miracles for sainthood is intercessory prayers for miraculous healing. Right? Someone has a tumor one day, they press a relic or a holy card, they pray, say a prayer, they get anointed with something, and the next day they take an x-ray and the doctor says, I can't believe it, science does not explain this. Well, I've been praying to Saint Gianna that she would heal this tumor. That would be a miracle, but it's got to be investigated. They don't just say, oh, we're going to take your word. They send doctors and they review medical histories, right? So then after that, the fourth step is the canonization, and it requires a second miracle after the beatification has happened. And then once the second miracle has been received through the candidate's intercession, the Pope then can canonize that person formally and declare them a saint. There's a lot of saints throughout history who are stopped at one of these different levels, or not saints, but a lot of people in history. So there are some who will be blessed and they will be blessed forever. They never advance, but they have a miracle attributed to their name, or they were a martyr. But also though, when we talk about Blessed Stanley Rother, right? We pray for his intercession. We pray for miracles. Mm-hmm. We pray for that because he is someone that is near and dear to our community, and we want one of us to be a saint, right? Who can intercede for us, who can hear us. Mm-hmm. Now, I know to some of our Protestant brothers and sisters, this all seems a little foreign to them, but it's one of the things when we talk about the communion of saints and the way we as Catholics, and I mean, I know we're running out of time, but we could be talking for another couple hours on this, right? We could be talking about our examples of our own relationship with saints and how maybe I've become a better person because I've read the life and the adversity that Mother Seton struggled through, right? Losing a spouse, raising children on her own, going to a foreign land, having to rely on the kindness of others, and then saying, you know what? I am going to
give back.
And I'm going to basically give up all of my wealth. Now, Mother Seton was not wealthy because her husband, when he widowed her, they were broke. But think of Catherine Drexel, very wealthy. St. Francis of Assisi gave up all of his wealth, renounced his life. We can learn from that, and we can model our life after these saints that God has put in our midst.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
You are listening to another edition of Searching My Soul with Father Cole Crockey-Hurd on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.